This tradition of the Vasa, the rains retreat, is a Vinaya observance established by the Buddha, requiring bhikkhus to remain in one monastery or residence throughout the rains retreat. They are not permitted to spend the rains retreat inside a large storage vessel, in the fork of a tree, or the hollow of a tree, or out in the open, because such places may be harmful to their health. Even if they stay in a kuti or small hut, they must still be careful. If it is situated beneath a large tree, they should first consider whether it may be dangerous, where the large branches could fall, and in which direction they might fall. When heavy rain and storms arrive, no one can know what may happen. Therefore, one must use mindfulness and wisdom in choosing the place, the monastery or dwelling, in which to spend the 3-month rains retreat, so that one may train the mind more intensively in the path of practice. Ordinarily, we are already training and developing the mind through sila, morality, samadhi, concentration, and panya, wisdom. These are the foundations of spiritual training. But during the rains retreat, the training becomes even more intensive, because we remain in one place without traveling elsewhere. This allows the practice to continue without interruption. The monks also study the Dhamma and Vinaya, learn to wear their robes properly and gracefully, cultivate restraint in body and speech, and go on alms round with composure. Even without giving a Dhamma talk or saying a single word, graceful conduct and dignified deportment can inspire faith. This was like the Venerable Asaji, who conducted himself with great restraint, lowering his gaze appropriately while walking on alms round. At that time, Venerable Sariputta was still a wandering ascetic. When he saw Venerable Asaji, faith and confidence arose in him, and he followed him in order to listen to the Dhamma and eventually attained Sotapanna, stream entry. Merely being restrained and composed is already beautiful, because seeing a serene and well-restrained contemplative is itself a blessing in our lives. During the rains retreat, monks cultivate and mature their minds. Lay people can cultivate themselves in the same way. In that sense, they too become venerable ones, because these are people who are earnestly training themselves, because the word venerable means being noble or excellent. We too can become excellent when we chant, perform the daily chanting, cultivate ourselves, strengthen our paramis, spiritual accumulations, establish firm faith, cultivate perseverance, cultivate mindfulness, and establish steady concentration. We cultivate wisdom so that we understand that whatever has arisen by nature must also cease. This is as taught in the perfectly self-awakened Buddha's first teaching, and we too are capable of knowing and seeing this truth. If we reflect that this world were to rotate 1,000 times faster than it does now, everything would change extremely quickly. We would realize that very little of our life remains. If it rotated 2,000 or even 5,000 times faster, everything would happen so rapidly that death would seem to be right before our eyes. What would we do then? What could we possibly do? This is what the Buddha clearly saw, seeing arising and ceasing in the present moment. He therefore taught us not to be heedless, but to train and cultivate our minds and habits. Venerable Ajahn Chah taught that cultivating one's character is like a mango that is still unripe. Like an unripe mango, a person may still perform wholesome deeds and regularly cultivate the parami of generosity. But when generosity is practiced with wisdom, giving rise to rapture and inner joy, that act of giving becomes like a fully ripened mango. At the beginning, however, wisdom may not yet have arisen, even though one has reached the stage of being able to give. Ajahn Chah compared this to an unripe mango. Yet as we learn to let go of our deep-rooted stinginess, and we continue practicing generosity again and again, we begin to see that virtue, or sila, is even more valuable. With generosity alone, we may not yet have restrained our bodily and verbal actions. We may still suffer through actions of body and speech that lack virtue. When we see that peace and happiness arises from keeping precepts, and that virtue becomes a noble treasure which follows us wherever we go, we naturally come to uphold it. Ajahn Chah compared this to a mango that is half ripe and nearly ready to ripen. Our bodily and verbal conduct then becomes filled with loving kindness, giving rise to coolness, peace, and happiness. Whoever sees the bodily and verbal conduct of one who possesses virtue may themselves become calm and serene. When it reaches the stage of wisdom, that is the stage of mental cultivation, Ajahn Chah compared it to a fully ripened mango, ready to be eaten, sweet and delicious. This is how we develop and cultivate our minds, strengthening our faith. We continue practicing generosity and making merit until we genuinely feel joy in giving and become wise in the way we give. This does not mean giving away everything. We should keep a portion for ourselves to support our livelihood, care for our family, raise our children, and provide for times of sickness. The Buddha in a past life was once a farmer with no wealth. Later, when gold appeared in his rice field, he still knew how to manage that wealth wisely. Even when he was still a bodhisattva, he was never heedless, nor did he boast about possessing great wealth, lest thieves come and steal it away. He did not even tell those closest to him, such as his wife or children, because he feared that they might not be able to keep the secret and that it could endanger everyone's lives. When we cultivate and develop our paramis in this way, making merit and practicing generosity becomes easier, very easy. If we continue doing so regularly, it gradually becomes as natural as it was for Anathapindika, the great benefactor. He spread gold coins over the ground to purchase the land for Jetavana Monastery. Who else could have done such a thing? To be able to do that shows that his mind had reached a very high level, overflowing with merit, established in unwavering concentration, and filled with the highest joy and inner fulfillment. Such a person must have accumulated paramis to the point of being capable of attaining arahantship, having attained jhana and profound states of concentration. Only then can one truly see that whatever is given externally is insignificant compared to a heart overflowing with deep joy and inner happiness. During the rains retreat, both monks and lay people should establish personal resolutions for practice. They should make firm aspirations to cultivate their paramis and strengthen the mind. For example, we may set the intention, during this rains retreat, what can I improve? Which wholesome qualities can I further develop? For monks, this may include practices such as eating only food received in the alms bowl, eating from the bowl only, eating one meal a day, eating in a single sitting, observing the Nesachika practice by not lying down to sleep on observance days, or maintaining continuous chanting and meditation. Strive to practice more diligently. Since we have already made sacrifices to be here, do not let the days and nights pass by without developing the mind. That brings no benefit. We must devote ourselves to the practice until the mind truly experiences and realizes the Dhamma, and until our training and monastic practices become firmly established. At the beginning, this means being steadfast in our daily observances, participating harmoniously in the daily routines, morning and evening chanting, and all communal duties with a spirit of self-sacrifice rather than selfishness. Study the Vinaya and the scriptural teachings, whether at the elementary, intermediate, or advanced levels of Dhamma studies. Reflect on what you have learnt and put it into practice. Do not merely accumulate academic qualifications. Make your learning genuinely beneficial. Some monks may also learn to chant the Padimokkha in the Mugdahan melody, reciting it beautifully and melodiously. Train earnestly and wholeheartedly while our teachers are still alive. Since we have come to train under them, we should establish our minds firmly in the principles of practice. As Ajahn Chah taught, guard the sense faculties, do not delight or become displeased. Be restrained in accordance with the Padimokkha. Constantly reflect upon the four requisites and remain heedful. Lay people can follow these same principles as well. They too can make firm aspirations, establish the barami of truthfulness in cultivating goodness, offer alms, listen to the Dhamma, practice meditation, and perform morning and evening chanting every day. We simply have to do it. Every time we practice, we accumulate another barami. Be diligent, determined, and resolute. Even when we are sick, we should not become discouraged. Continue training the mind. Through practice, there are times when we can separate the mind from painful feelings. We must also shake up our defilements from time to time. Do not let them make us be lost, and do not let them carry us away in delusion. Why? Because defilements are not afraid of wealth, status, or worldly success. They are not afraid of any of these things. Defilements can still lull us into delusion. But what are defilements afraid of? They fear those who possess wisdom. They are not afraid of those who remain deluded. They fear those who practice sincerely, earnestly, and wholeheartedly. Therefore, while we are in the rains retreat, let us truly set our hearts on cultivating the mind. Some monks undertake the Nesachika practice by not lying down to sleep on observance days. We ourselves may at least practice it for one night. If our health is not strong, perhaps we can only practice till midnight. We should practice according to the strength of our minds and bodies, without pushing ourselves beyond our limits to the point of illness. During the rains retreat, reduce the distractions of the social world and social media. Use that time instead to cultivate mindfulness and develop concentration. Social media may consume our time and cause us to lose mindfulness. But if we are wise, we can instead use it as a means for cultivating mindfulness and concentration, making it genuinely beneficial to our practice. Entering the rains retreat may be compared to rainfall nourishing the forests and woodlands, causing the trees to flourish in freshness. In the same way, we should nourish our own hearts with wholesome virtues, allowing them to blossom, flower, and bear fruit like the trees. When our hearts are filled with both rapture and concentration, we experience genuine fulfillment and joy in meditation practice. During the rains retreat, time seems to pass very quickly. Each day goes by swiftly. Why? Because the mind is peaceful and joyful. Inwardly, it is bright and uplifted. Therefore, establish the barami of determination and firmly set your hearts on cultivating goodness. Resolve how you will practice throughout the rains retreat. Turn it into a habit. Cultivate perseverance and never give up. Some monks undertake the ascetic practice of not lying down to sleep for the entire 3 months. As the time approaches, however, they may naturally feel like giving up this dutanga or austere practice. It is difficult and demanding. We practice what others may choose not to practice, yet we endure through patience and perseverance. In the end, we overcome it. Once trained in this way, even staying awake for a single night becomes easier. This is how one conquers the mind that is so attached to sleep. Those who eat only from what they got on alms round are likewise not attached to an abundance of food. Although lay supporters may offer many different dishes, they eat only what they have received on alms round. They also gain an additional half hour for meditation. Taking food from the communal tables takes time, and everyone must wait. But when we eat only from what we received on alms round, everything is already arranged, leaving time to sit in meditation. Take concentration as the principal foundation of your practice, so that the Dhamma of rapture and the Dhamma of concentration may arise. May all of us encourage one another in our practice, cultivating diligence, truthfulness, and effort. Practice meditation and cultivate the mind often. Do it often, develop it well. By maintaining this attitude of heedfulness, we will encounter true happiness and genuine growth throughout the rains retreat. Then the rains retreat will become deeply meaningful. These 3 months will become one of the most significant periods of our lives, during which we can encounter the Dhamma and realize the Dhamma. May you grow in blessings.